This is CICK News. The BC Conservative MLAs of Bulkley Valley, Stikine, Nechaco Lakes, and Abbotsford held a town hall on what was called Understanding DRIPA. DRIPA is the Declaration of Rights of Indigenous Peoples Act, which was unanimously passed by the BC Legislative Assembly in November of 2019. The BC Conservatives publicly call for a repeal of DRIPA in many of their press statements, as well as interviews, saying that the veto power of DRIPA is a dangerous precedent and warn of the impacts on private property rights, industry projects, growth, transparency, and economic reconciliation.
Denise, I sure wish you had of acknowledged to get them then. That would be a really nice step towards reconciliation. I don't want any Europeans to go back to Europe. I don't want anybody to go back to anywhere. I assure you of that. I'm here as the chief of Wet'suwet'en, representing a governing First Nation, not to endorse any political party, but to speak to what creates certainty on the ground. There's a lot of talk about DRIPA creating legal uncertainty, as you would agree, John. I want to be clear, DRIPA did not create Indigenous rights. These rights were already existing Canadian law. What DRIPA attempts to do, imperfectly, mind you, is clarify how governments should meet obligations that courts have recognized for decades. Repeal would not remove uncertainty. It would push uncertainty back into First Nation communities and investors. When communities avoid dealing with Indigenous rights early and directly, the result is a delay, conflict, and litigation when it's done right. Projects move faster and last longer when First Nations are involved early with real authority. Certainty comes from consent, not from sidelining the right holders. If DRIPA needs improvement, then let's talk about improvement. But repeal would signal that reconciliation is conditional and reversible. That message undermines trust, stability, and long-term investment. Tsuwhitan will continue to govern her lands responsibly, with or without DRIPA. The real question is whether governments choose partnership or perpetuate conflict.
Here's John Rostad.
We're now in a situation where I want to pose a question to everyone in this audience, which is, what does reconciliation mean? And from my perspective, what I believe it should look like is it should bring equal opportunity for all. There will never be equality for all, because everybody's born different. Now, I also want to just talk about why I support the idea of repealing DRIPA. Because when you look around the world, anywhere there has been legislation, anywhere there has been laws that put in place which give rights to one person that are not given to another person, it creates friction by its own nature. When you look at our Constitution, Section 35 was meant to try to resolve the long-standing history and the problems, but it has created two classes of people. And quite frankly, the Indian Act has created two classes of people too. So how do you fix the historic problems that have gone on? How do you right those wrongs? How do you find a path forward that gets to an end and is able to achieve what I believe should be the goal of reconciliation? How do you get to a place where we don't have to legislate rights for one people that another people don't have? How do you get to a place where we actually have that equal opportunity? Now, it's going to take work, but there has to be a willingness and understanding on both sides that, and an agreement in terms of what needs to be achieved that can be measured from a perspective of equality, that equal opportunity for all.
My name is Chief Madik. I'm one of the three head chiefs of the Gidimden clan whose territory that you're situated on. Denise Was and Sakaizek Gilget. We just want to acknowledge that the territory that you're situated on and that you've come to do business on is Gidimden. One of the most important things in reconciliation is, number one, if you have a conflict and you've caused harm to somebody, you don't get to say what reconciliation looks like. You have to talk to Indigenous people. You know, I think all of the fear-mongering that you're doing, yes, Indigenous will be able to make laws, but Canadians have been doing that to people all over Canada, including British Columbia. You know, I don't think you should be taking this from a fear perspective. We've lived among the people that are in our valley for so many years. And reconciliation is important to the people of this valley from my experiences, just as much as it is to us as Indigenous people. It's really important that we start these conversations from a place of respect, and not just the respect for the Indigenous people, but for the people who've been living among us for so many years. So I welcome all of you who are continuing to live among us. We work and play amongst each other, and thank you. Alexa.
Denise, Sakaze, Skaze, Sai Slato, Sydney. I hold the name Slato in Cassia House, which is the grizzly bear house whose territory that you're on right now. I have a couple of concerns to address about what you said, your lack of knowledge of history. I'm here because I want other people to understand what is actually going on. This problem didn't start with DRIPA. This problem didn't start with Section 35 in the Constitution. So this problem of dividing and this conflict was caused by the Canadian government. It's perpetuated by your government, saying fear-mongering and saying that if we're allowed to make our laws, if we're allowed to enact our laws on our territory, that non-Native people are going to suffer. And that's a huge misunderstanding of what Anishinaabe is. That is our body of laws. That's how we govern. UNDRIP is supposed to help address the conflict that was created by colonization, that created these two tiers of people, that used racism as a tool to dehumanize us, to rationalize the theft and the forceful illegal occupation of our territory. And so when you're talking about equal opportunity, my question is, equal opportunity for what? Because our vision of how we want to live in the North and our vision of how we implement Wet'suwet'en law on our territories doesn't look like what you're talking about. Equal opportunity for everybody is to live in a vibrant, beautiful place in the world where we can actually have peace, which our laws allow for after thousands and thousands of years of developing them on this land.
Kayla Mitchell, Luxiliudista, Sinethiethni Giltehu, Sine Crystal Granke, Sabeb Rodney Mitchell, Tini Meskabu Helen Mitchell, Tate Satana Delie Zitni An, Kenny Mitchell, Tla Anito Tat Louise Granke. I live here today as Deputy Chief of Whitsett First Nation, and I have been on council for the last 6 years, and I'm one of the youngest people on council, and I've also witnessed the beauty of our system in the feast hall, where I've also been to the legislation of Canada, and in that space, I noticed there was a lot of anger and there was a lot of scrutiny from across the room, and I've never seen that in our governance hall, and it was appalling to me. But the issue of the Indian Act, as well as the repercussions of leaving us in the dark, has caused such issue and misinformation that is being spread, especially in the valley. So when you speak of equality, Mr. Rustad, I want to emphasize that there has never been equality, especially when we currently are not able to even own property on a reserve we've been allotted. How can we even be economically making it when we have no equity to even work with? Thank you for listening, and I hope that we can continue this conversation forward. And what I want to preface with that conversation moving forward is that we must have respect for one another, including those that serve our communities, have been voted in, and those that we feel important to be in that space.
And here is Buckley Valley Stikine MLA, Sharon Hartwell.
Well, I think we do need to listen a lot more and talk a lot less. I mean, like I said before, a town hall is, it may be a little bit tense and uncomfortable. We need to have these conversations. Government needs to be listening and not so much telling. John has got a tremendous amount of background information and knowledge on these things, and that's the perspective I want.
Do you think then that there are perspectives that you're going to bring to legislature then?
I think so, because I do want to meet with the chiefs and talk with them, but I think John's comments on finding that common ground is important, but you're not going to find common ground behind closed doors. And currently, as John had mentioned, there was a change. They agreed to a certain copy of DRIPA, and then they changed it overnight, and that's not fair to either party. So I think it's important for me going forward that the public knows, and especially the First Nations communities know, we're not stalling this. We want to get it done right.
When you're in legislature as well, do you feel like your position is to listen and learn, or how do you feel that you're representing the Bulkley Valley when you're there? These are the voices that need to be spoken, but need to be spoken through you.
Absolutely, and I think Ms. Nicole mentioned that quite correctly, but I need to know what that voice is. I need to hear it from the chiefs. I need to sit down with them and say, what's working and what isn't, so I can say, well, you know, this is what I heard at home. I'm hearing it for this group of people. That doesn't work, but this might. So that's the kind of information I need. That's the kind of dialogue I want to have on the ground with the chiefs and with the councils here, and take that back to Victoria, because I'm not going to speak about something that I don't know about.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
CSK News is funded by the Government of Canada, the Community Radio Fund of Canada, and is a participating station in the Local Journalism Initiative. On behalf of my colleague Dan Messick and myself, Pam Hassan, thanks for listening.